think we could probably go ahead and begin.
Okay, good morning. It is now 8:59 a.m. We are here today, July 7th, 2016, in the OPA Hill Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hanagatna, Guam, for the continued formal hearing of OPA PA 16-002, 1A Guam Webs versus the Guam Community College. Presiding over the hearing today is Hearing Officer Anthony Camacho and Public Auditor Doris Forrest Brooks. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Llewellyn Terlahi, Jarek Hernandez, and Edlyn Dallase. Will Appellate 1A Guam Webs please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Hi, good morning. My name is John Bell. I am the attorney for Guam Webs. I also have my legal secretary, Haani Taxville, present.
Good morning. My name is Rajesh K. Sharma. I am the president of Guam Webs.
Thank you. Will Purchasing Agency Guam Community College please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. My name is Rebecca Wrightson with Cabot Mantinunya. We represent GCC, the purchasing agency. And I don't have any representatives here at the moment, but we are expecting Dr. Okada, the president of GCC.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Where we left off, we're still in the appellant's case in chief, and Mr. Raj Sharma was the witness, and we were still in the midst of your direct examination. Is that correct, Mr. Bell?
I think I was done, and we were about to do the cross. I did have one request related to the subpoena to Mr. Halihali.
Yes.
In light of, he was actually handed it by a third party who refuses to write that he handed it to him. I had intended to ask him to essentially use him to counter GCC's claim that they have a local office. And so I wanted to see if could I have the runner who basically went there to serve him simply describe what he saw. And what that physical address is. It's essentially he would testify that it's a gated residential condo, and that's it.
To that request, Ms. Wrightson.
I guess I fail to see how any of this is relevant as far as where the office is.
I'm going to allow it. Okay, I'll allow that testimony.
It'll be very brief.
In any event. Mr. Sharma, please take the stand. Before we begin, I ask that any witnesses be sent down to the OPA conference room. Ms. Wrightson, if we're done with them early, who do you anticipate to be your first two witnesses?
My first two witnesses, I believe, will probably be Ms. Flores and then Mr. Camacho.
Okay, so if we could have two chairs outside the door and they can wait here, but the rest of the witnesses would have to go down to the OPA conference room and wait to be called. Thank you.
Maybe down the hall a little bit further.
Just for the record, I'm telling my witness to go to along with the OPA staff.
That would work too. So what we'll do is we're going to proceed as far as we can until about 10:45 or so. We're going to have to break at that point, and then we're going to have to we'll try to come back at about maybe 12. We'll have an earlier lunch and proceed as far as we can. We'll probably have to break again between 1:30 and 2:30 or 3, depending on people's schedules. And hopefully, we will conclude by this afternoon before.
That would be five. My hope as well. And I would just like to inform that Dr. Okada has told me that she has a budget hearing at the legislature that she needs to be at 2:00. So when she does arrive here, and if we go beyond that point, then she will need to leave for her budget hearing.
Understood. All right. That said, is there any other matters I need to take up before we start? Okay, so Mr. Sharma, you're still under oath. So, Mr. Bell, your witness, you may proceed.
I was actually done with my direct.
Very well. And then Ms. Wrightson, your witness for cross-examination.
Thank you. So So, Mr. Sharma, you testified that you're the president of Guam Webs, is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. And you testified that you were the one who submitted Guam Webs' bid packet in response to the IFB. Now, is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. I'm going to be showing the witness Exhibit E at page 47. And would this be the timestamped page for the bid packet?
That's correct.
Now, it's going to be, and that said that it was submitted at 9:30. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, page 46 of Exhibit E, would this be the timestamp page for WSI's bid packet?
I apologize. What page?
It's Exhibit E, page 46, Madam Auditor.
I'm not familiar with this document.
Okay.
I haven't seen it before.
Okay. Does it say that WSI's, the timestamp here, does it say 856?
Document would, I can see that.
Okay.
Ms. Wrightson,
thank you.
Please proceed and take a note of that.
Now, you testified that you were at the bid opening on February 15, I believe, and jotted down the bidder's prices as Ms. Evangelista read them aloud. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So you would have jotted down all of the prices, so you would have known that WSI offered a lower price than Guam Webs at the bid opening. Then that'd be correct, then, wouldn't it, if you jotted them all down?
I took note of the grand total pricing, and they had a price that was lower than mine and a price that was higher than what I submitted.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, now, I believe that last time we were here, you testified that you were surprised to learn that Guam Webb's price was, I think it was too high. Did this surprise occur at the bid opening on February 15th?
I don't recall saying that.
Okay, so let's talk about Guam Webb's bid protest for a couple minutes. Let's take a look at Exhibit F, pages 17 and 18.
I'm sorry, what pages?
17 and 18.
Thank you.
So now, I'm sorry, the 17 and 18, I'm sorry, is the notice of non-award. Is that correct? I hand you the right exhibit or the wrong exhibit? That's the notice of non-award. Okay, and that's dated February 23rd, is that correct?
It's the date on here, the 23rd.
And then on page 18, this would be GCC's email that forwarded the notice of non-award to you at 11:30 in the morning. Is that correct?
Yes, it says it was emailed to me on Feb 24th.
Okay. Thank you. Now, in its briefs, Guam Webs has insisted that could not known of any of the grounds for its bid protest before the Sunshine Act request that you received, before you received their response to the Sunshine Act request on March 10, is that correct?
I don't recall the date, but I did not know at that point the grounds of why we didn't get, or why we had the non-award.
And I'll be showing the witness Exhibit A, which is the bid protest. Let's take a look at the grounds, some of the grounds for your bid protest. Now, on page 2, could you read the first highlighted section, please?
What exhibit is that?
This is Exhibit A at page 2.
Right here.
Could you read the highlighted section, please?
Sure. WSI has not renewed its business license since 2013 at the time of the bid deadline and due date.
Okay, and for ground B of your protest, could you read that highlighted section?
As noted above, letter A, WSI was not licensed at the time of the bid deadline and due date.
Okay, now if we'll, let's see, on page three, could you read the highlighted section of ground C of your protest, please?
WSI has failed to retain a valid business license for 2 years.
Okay, thank you. So all of these complaints are about WSI's business license?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'm going to be showing the witness exhibit, Guam Web's exhibit 3 at page 1. Now, this is your Sunshine Act request. Can you show me where on that Sunshine Act request you requested information about WSI's business license?
This is a Sunshine Act request to GCC, so I did not request that.
And why wouldn't you have requested information about Guam Web's business license from GCC then? Is it because you knew you needed to go to Rev and Tax to get that information?
Could you let the witness answer the question before you ask another? Please proceed.
I think that question would be answered by Rev and Tax.
Okay, so you knew that you went to Rev and Tax because Rev and Tax handles all the issues having to do with business license. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go back to your protest for a minute, which is going to be Exhibit A. And could you read for us the highlighted section here for ground E?
WSI has submitted two proposals and should be disqualified for doing so, while GCC skewed the evaluation process by evaluating separately two proposals from WSI.
Okay, thank you. So you're complaining about WSI submitting two bids, one for a proprietary tool and one for another non-proprietary tool. Is that correct?
Yes. Michael, can I explain the complaint?
No, it's fine. So now at the bid opening on February 15, you heard Ms. Evangelista read aloud the two prices offered for WSI, one for its proprietary tool and the other for its non-proprietary tool. You jotted them down.
That's correct.
Okay. And did you receive Amendment 1 to the IFB?
Yes. I don't remember the details of it, but yes.
Well, let's take a look at it. Okay, I'll be showing the witness Exhibit B at page 108. Could you read the highlighted question and answer, please?
Any preference on development tools? That's a question.
Could you read the answer, please?
We have no preference at this point, but both proprietary and non-proprietary options are welcome.
Okay, so, and you did receive this, so you knew that two price options had been allowed up before you even submitted your bid.
Two price options, but not two separate proposals.
Okay. So if you were going to complain about the bidders being able to offer two prices, then you probably should have done that before you submitted your bid, huh?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
If you were going to complain about the ability to submit two prices, a proprietary tool and a non-proprietary tool, you were aware of that on February 5th when you received Amendment 1.
Yes, that you could
Thank
submit
you.
Two prices.
Okay, so let's take a look now at Exhibit B, which is your entire proposal here. Get it out. Okay. Perfect. Okay, we're gonna have a couple questions about that here now. So, how many pages is that all together?
It says page 96, up to page 96, so I think we'll be...
If you look on the last page, they're all numbered. That's your entire bid packet.
Yeah, but there's a...
What's the number on the last page, please?
Tab 5, you mean 110?
Thank you. Okay, so now are pages 3 and 4 of your bid packet an introduction? Okay? And pages 5 through 26, that's Guam Web's company profile. That's correct?
That's right.
Okay, and pages 27 through 36, that's Guam Web's projects portfolio. Is that correct?
Ms. Wrightson, we can read the table of contents
okay.
on page 2.
Okay, so.
And you can argue the relevance of the table of contents and the pagination during the closing,
okay.
but we know what they are.
So we'll go through, okay, so let's, can we establish then that pages 40 through 53 then are Guam Web's scope of work, looking at the table of contents.
No, it goes beyond that. I mean, just looking at the table.
Looking at the table of contents, pages 40 through 53 are the scope of work.
Yes, that's
what it says.
Right,
thank you. Okay. So now you've been asked, Guam Web's Council have been asking about descriptive literature. So what would be your answer to descriptive literature? Would that be the pictures and the graphs and everything that you had put in your proposal?
It's a combination of everything, including text, examples.
So it'd be examples and graphs and everything to say, that'd be a correct statement.
Well, there's not only graphs, it's what the content of the graphs would show.
Okay. Well, and for the record, I would just ask the hearing officer and the public auditor to refer to the pictures, web pages, charts, and graphs throughout WSI's proposal that was submitted under seal. Okay, so you testified that you spent 8 to 10 hours working diligently on Guam Web's bid packet for this particular IFB, is that correct?
That was 8 to 10 days.
I believe you said 8 to 10 hours, but okay.
I believe it was days.
It was days?
That's, I recall, days.
It was days, okay.
That was my recollection.
Okay, now, so when UOG issued an IFB for its website a few years ago, Guam Web's participated in that, didn't they?
We've participated twice with the UOG bid.
Okay, and so you won that award, didn't you?
We won the second one. The first one we had not won.
Okay. So was anything looking familiar between UOG's IFB and GCC's IFB?
There were some stark differences. Basic concepts were quite similar, but there were stark differences.
Okay, so they were similar. So you could probably do a lot of cutting and pasting from your response to UOG's proposal and adding that into GCC's response.
If it's applicable, yes.
Okay. So that's why on page 53 of Exhibit B at number 1, it says that Guam Web understands GCC's mission statement and will work towards helping UOG achieve its listed goals and objectives. Thank you. Okay, let's focus on the 14 pages that, according to your table of contents, are a response to the scope of work. Okay, now GCC has repeatedly argued, and I believe that you testified as well, that the scope of work for the specifications for the scope of work, that a recitation of specific details is not an adequate response, nor is a bidder acknowledging a specification and saying that it will comply with the specification. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Okay, so your response is that Guamweb's argument and your testimony is that detailed explanations are required for all of the specifications. Is that correct?
Graphical, yes.
Okay, and so merely reciting, like just basically reciting back the verbiage from a specification would not be adequate?
Not throughout the proposal, but sometimes.
Oh, so sometimes it's okay.
Well, there might be instances when it might. It depends on the question.
So it depends on the question as to whether or not you would need a detailed explanation. Is that correct?
But
no, that's what you just said.
Yes, the majority of the proposal should not be that way.
the majority of the proposal should not be that way.
That's right.
Okay. So, but it's okay to say, understand and will comply or something similar to that then, is what you're saying?
Along with everything, all the other descriptive literature, yes.
Okay. So, let's look at some of your responses to the scope of work. So, let's see. I'm going to look at Exhibit D and Exhibit B. I'm going to be handing you Exhibit B at pages 40 through 53, which would be your response, Juan Webb's responses to the scope of work. So the IFB scope of work on page 28, which is Exhibit D, says that a hosting site requirement would be ensure that any and all system scheduled maintenance or troubleshooting that require any amount of downtime are provided to GCC for announcement on the website and the portal at least 24 hours in advance and must be performed during non-peak utilization hours or between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. CHST. Now, looking at pages 49 to 51 of Juan Webb's responses, under the heading 5F, website hosting and maintenance, can you tell us where Juan Webb's promise to provide 24 hours advance notice and perform any downtime maintenance between 2 and 5 a.m.?
You only need me to check into the section that you're pointing out, or?
It's, those are your website hosting requirements. That's the response to the scope of work. Can you show me where it is? So it's not in your response to the scope of work, specifically under the heading website hosting and maintenance.
I have.
I didn't see it there either. It's okay.
No, where? No, I mean.
Oh, I, it's okay. I couldn't find it either.
I don't understand what you're asking me to do.
Show me where you said you were going to comply with that, or that you understood it or acknowledged it.
With support with hosting and maintenance? Yes, I will show that to you.
Where you said specifically you're going to provide 24 hours advance notice.
Does the witness have his entire bid before him or just an excerpt?
He has the 14 pages for his scope of
work. Could you please provide him his entire bid for him to answer that question? And is that the entire?
This is his entire bid packet.
Very well. So now that the witness has the entire bid packet, please proceed.
I have a section, which is page 49, that talks about website hosting and maintenance, website management. I speak about 99% uptime, 24/7 technical support, 24/7 access to our team, to our panel, how updates are done.
I see, and so does it say you're gonna do it between 2 and 5 a.m.?
If it's 24/7, it means it will include 2 to 5 a.m.
Okay, thank you. So now let's look at another one of the hosting site requirements. It says server disk space allocated to GCC should be a minimum of 1 terabyte to each instance of the GCC website or to all its mirrored sites. Can you show me where you promised to provide 1 terabyte? It's okay, I couldn't find it either.
Can I be allowed time to locate it?
go off the record, need additional time?
Yes, because I know that there's hosting specs in the bid package.
Okay. Let's go off the record, allow him to go through his bid.
We're off the record at...
It's over 100 pages. Please proceed.
We're off the record at 9:25 a.m. The time is 9:27 a.m. We're back on the record for OPA PA 16-002.
And Mr. Sharma, you are still under oath. You were in the middle of your cross-examination by Ms. Rison. Ms. Rison, you may proceed.
Thank you. So where Guam Labs promised to provide a minimum of 1 terabyte to each instance of the GCC website, and that's your server disk space allocation.
That's right. It's on page 50, number 5. It says we will match and meet the requirements outlined in the web server and the IFB. A US-based web server would be utilized.
Okay, so you're basically saying we're acknowledging the server specifications in the IFB and we're going to meet those or exceed them.
In my first sentence and all the other 5 or 6 sentences describe it.
But so you're saying we're acknowledging the 1 terabyte and we're going to meet or exceed that expectation.
I'm acknowledging whatever their requirements.
Okay, thank you. You're acknowledging. Thank you.
I didn't catch one thing. Mr. Sharma, so on page 50, which paragraph was that?
It was number 5.
Number 5. All right.
On the very top, we will match and meet the requirements.
Thank you. I just conveyed the paragraph. Please proceed.
Okay, so we can look at some other specifications in the scope of work. So under, at Exhibit D on page 29, we have website management by GCC. Now, this is the specifications in the IFB. And the first bullet point on page 29 under website management says, coordinate with GCC Assistant Director of Communications and Promotions on all aspects of the website, its interface, and functions. Now, I found Guam Web's response on page 41 of Exhibit B at number 1. Could you please read for us on page 41 of Exhibit B at number 1?
Guam Web's lead web consultant will work one-on-one with GCC parties involved and especially with the Office of Communications and Promotions at GCC.
Okay, thank you. Now, that sounds pretty similar to the scope of work to me. Okay, so the third bullet point on page 28 of the specifications... Okay, under website support and maintenance, and this would be Exhibit D, at page 28 says, work with GCC's other web-based systems and service providers such as Ellucian Banner, Luminous Systems, including MyGCC Portal, Acalog, Dynex, Moodle, TrackDent, to ensure proper and seamless connectivity. So... I found Guam Web's response to that on page 53 of Exhibit B under the heading 5G specific responses from Guam Web's to the items noted in the IFB. And would you please read, let me see, make sure I'm on the right one. Sorry, I got lost for a moment.
Please don't ask the witness to read. You can ask the witness a question about content, but we, you know, pretty much it.
Okay, so at page 43, number 17 of Exhibit B is where I found your response. So I read that as integration with GCC Internet Portal and Guam Web. So that's your response right there is number 17? Okay, so I note that that's very similar to the IFB's specification. So you're basically reciting that specification back.
I'm reading the specifications, yes.
Okay. So let's look at, there's another requirement in the IFB that's called on Exhibit D at page 29. The first bullet point under other requirements says transitioning in, and then to prevent the disruption and ensure the continuity of GCC's operations, a transition period shall be allowed to orient the incoming provider. And it says the end, there's more in there as well, but the incoming provider must absorb all the costs associated with this transition. Can you show us where in Guam Web's response you actually acknowledged or even said you would comply with this?
Can you repeat the line again?
Transitioning in. To prevent disruption and ensure the continuity of GCC's operations, a transition period shall be allowed to orient the incoming provider. This involves transfer and custody of relevant information, relevant materials from the incumbent provider to the incoming provider. Transition period requires the incoming provider to coordinate with the incumbent provider with GCC's consent, to gain familiarity of the operational and maintenance requirements of the website. The incoming provider must absorb all costs associated with this transition.
Okay, kind of give me some time. We included verbiage in here that says ability to integrate, consume, and expose APIs and other third-party applications. So when transitioning from one website to another, we would simply expose the website that GCC...
Okay, so no, I'm sorry, is it in your proposal?
Yes.
I mean, you don't need to explain it to me. Did you explain it in your proposal, and did you acknowledge that you're going to absorb the costs? It's okay, I couldn't find it either. So if it's not there, it's not there.
If the cost wasn't added on to... There's no additional cost mentioned in here, so it's assumed that people absorb that cost.
So it's just assumed. So when you're not actually responding to...
Wait, just so we're clear, just for my clarification, Ms. Wrightson.
Yes.
So I know you're going through, trying to cross-reference the scope of work in the bid with various aspects of the appellant's proposal. Which, and when you say that you couldn't find it in this bid, which I know that the specs aren't numbered, but which one are you specifically referring to?
I'm referring to the specification
page? I know you're
Exhibit D.
Which page, please?
At page 29.
Okay.
And it would be the first bullet point under other requirements. It says transitioning in.
Thank you.
problem. Okay, so when you didn't actually specifically respond to a specification, you used what's on, let's see, we could look at Exhibit B on page 53, which is the number 7 that the web group found. It says you're agreeing to everything mentioned in the IFB.
Yeah, that's a safeguard in case the translation of certain wording in the proposal specs versus what we are submitting doesn't
line up. So it would also be then a safeguard if you didn't specifically respond and explain how you were going to perform every specification.
It's a safeguard when there's a misinterpretation of certain verbiage. We don't know who's writing the specs for the bid. So what if they're using a terminology that we don't necessarily use in our industry?
Okay, so thank you. So it would be, so you wouldn't have to specifically respond to everything. Okay.
The effort is made.
So now.
Okay, once again, I'm going to ask both the witness and Ms. Wrightson, when you both speak at the same time, you're messing up. It's difficult to capture, record what you're saying. That might not come out if this transcript is required. So I ask both of you all. Please wait for the other to finish their sentence before starting yours. Thank you.
Okay, so, and then I found another, I guess you're calling them a safeguard, in case you didn't respond or explain everything in the IFB. And I found another one of these that would start on, what is that, page 40 of your bid. It would be Exhibit B. And under Section 5C, says service provisions, and it says Guam Webs will provide the following services, colon. And if you turn the page on 41, could you read the last bullet point that would follow to that colon, but it's actually on the second page?
All services outlined in the IFB.
Oh, okay, thank you. So basically, given the responses on page 53 and on page 40, Guam Webs basically stated that it's going to understand, that it understands and will comply with all of the IFB's scope of work specifications, even the ones that you didn't specifically address or explain. Is that correct? Is that correct?
I don't understand your question. Are you asking my intention of having that line in there?
No, I'm asking if that would be a correct statement, is that Guam Webs
is
basically saying, I'll understand and I'll comply.
Sorry, that is incorrect.
That is incorrect.
Your statement was incorrect.
Thank you. Now let's look at, take a look at Guam Webs proposal Exhibit B at page 91. And that page is titled Costs, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and under number 2, where it says Costs for Web Management, it says, through the course of the contract term period and optional terms. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. Another few pages. We're just going to focus on your project portfolio for a moment. Okay. And if you want, we can set the whole thing over here, but I've just kind of picked out the parts that we're going to be working with. So let's see. And that's Exhibit B. Okay, on page 29 in Guam Webs projects portfolio, could you read what it says that Guam Webs does for OPA, the highlighted parts?
We provide 24/7 complete website management, which includes hosting, email management, and constant regular updating of the website.
Okay, and for Gura, there's a highlighted section for Gura. Can you say what they do for them?
We provide 24/7 website management, which includes hosting, domain management and conservator update of the website.
Okay, and then you have, there should be, if you flip the page, there should be a page 49. And the highlighted section there.
We offer secure 24/7 live website support, which means our support team literally works around the clock.
Okay, so you're working basically 24/7.
That's correct.
Okay, now, only because Guam Webs is persisting with the issue of business licenses in this appeal, let's talk about that for a minute. So the IFB stated that the successful bidder has to present its business license upon award of the contract, a business license expiring June 30, 2016. Is that correct?
Yes, from what I recall, that sounds correct.
Okay. And so Guam, is it Guam Webs' position then that a vendor's failure to timely renew its business license makes that bidder not responsible for this IFB?
Then you should call for legal conclusion.
I'm asking Guam Webs' representative what Guam Webs' position is.
Sorry, Mr. Bell, your client testified that he prepared this document, so please proceed. Objection overruled.
I'm sorry, what was the question?
So the question is that it's Guam Webs' position that a failure to timely renew a business license makes that bidder not responsible for this IFB. Is that correct?
Yes, that sounds correct.
Okay, so that sounds correct. So if a bidder paid a penalty for a late renewal, then that bidder would not be responsible? Is that correct?
I'm not sure what that means, but...
So if you paid a penalty, if you didn't renew on time and you paid a penalty, then Guam Webb's position is you're not a responsible bidder for this IFB. Is that correct?
Objection calls for speculation.
And we are getting into the speculatory realm here. Going to
okay.
Sustain the objection. Please proceed.
Okay, so I'm going to show you what is Exhibit B at page 94. Now, this is a copy of Guam Webb's business license. Is that correct? You submitted it with your bid packet.
That's correct.
And is there an amount? Is there an amount in the box labeled penalty?
$1.
Oh, so there is?
Yes.
So, but if you pay a penalty for renewing your license late, then you're not responsible.
I didn't say that. I didn't answer the previous question.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now, so Guam's business license prior to this one right here would have expired on June 30 of 2015. Is that correct?
This reads expires June 30, 2016.
So the one before that would have expired on June 30 of 2015.
Yes, I think that's when all the business license should expire.
Okay, now on that copy of the business license, did it say you paid on July 1st of 2015?
Yes.
Okay, so we've established that paying a penalty for a belated business license renewal doesn't make a bidder responsible for this bid.
I believe that would be argumentative.
Okay.
Okay. Please rephrase the question.
Rephrase the question. Okay. I'll ask the question in a different manner. So, Guam Webs, I believe, has also taken the position that if you pay a penalty for renewal, then you're not in compliance with the licensing law.
I think Guam Webs has taken the position that if you don't renew your business license for 3 years and conduct business activity, then you're not in compliance with.
Oh, so if you don't, if you conduct business activity
for 3 years
without having a renewed business license, then you're not in compliance with the licensing law. Is that correct?
No, that's not what I said. I said.
Oh, you said for 3 years, so there's a difference then is what you're saying, that either you comply with the licensing law or you don't.
Okay, please wait for the other to finish before starting your response to your question. Proceed.
So the position is if you've conducted business while your business license was not renewed, then you're not in compliance with Guam licensing law.
Correct, if you're conducting business
correct.
Activity
okay,
without a
so,
business license.
Okay. So now we've established here that Guam Webs does business 24/7. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, and Guam Web's business license before that one there would have expired on June 30th, 2015. Correct?
Yes.
And you renewed it on July 1st of 2015. That's what it says, you paid.
That's correct.
Okay, so is Rev and Tax open at midnight?
Not that I know of, no.
Oh. Okay. Okay, so you believe you testified yesterday that WSI's proprietary tool is not reliable. Or Tuesday, I'm sorry, it was. Is that correct? It wasn't reliable. See, the development tool is not reliable because it hasn't been tested enough.
I was speaking of proprietary CMS, and there's no way of really knowing whether they're reliable or not.
There's no way of knowing whether they're reliable. All right, and so Guam Web's proposed to use Drupal for this IFB, didn't it?
That's correct.
Okay, so now I'm a little bit IT challenged myself, so I had to do a little bit of research on Drupal. Were you aware that in October of 2014, as many as 12 million websites developed with Drupal were hacked?
There's other instances as well.
Oh, okay, so if you were going to use a definition of reliable, if you were going to define that term for a content management system, would you include the term, the phrase vulnerable to hackers?
You have to understand the reason why those websites...
No, would you include that phrase?
Could you let him finish his answer before you start your next question? Please answer the question again, Mr. Sharma.
I'm sorry, please repeat the question.
If you were going to define reliable, because you're an IT person, so if you were going to, you define the term reliable for a content management system, would that definition include the phrase vulnerable to hackers?
Everything that's built today is vulnerable to hackers.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay, now, see, you testified that you read the local preference statute, which is 5 GCA. Section 5008, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I know you like the first part of the statute, but let's take a look at the part that you actually want to apply, which is the price advantage. Now, this price advantage section says, procurement of supplies and services from off Guam may be made if the total cost of procurement from off island is no greater than 85% of the total cost of the same supplies or services when procured from a business license to do business on Guam that maintains an office or facility on Guam and that is one of the above designated businesses entitled to the preference. So that's the section that you want to apply here, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so now just to be sure I'm clear on Guam Web's position here, you want OPA to rule that in this case, you know, that if a business has been established on Guam for over a decade but hadn't renewed its business license when it submitted its business packet, its bid packet, then that business must be treated as supplying services from off Guam.
I object only to the premise that WSI is established on Guam for 10 years. That's part of the factual dispute that we have. That's the only part of that I object to.
Your response?
I think that we'll be able to satisfy that.
Please proceed.
Okay, so you're asking OPA then to rule that they need to be treated as off Guam, off island.
I wouldn't say that's, that statement is absolutely correct. No.
You wouldn't say that's correct.
That's a legal conclusion which he actually hasn't made. That's their conception of our legal conclusion. They've never made that statement. About this language about being treated off Guam has never been a legal position.
Well, he's one of the parties, I'm going to allow it. Please proceed.
Okay. Thank you. So, but in order to get the price advantage applied here, that's what would need to happen is they have to be labeled as providing services from off Guam. That's what the statute says, correct?
Per that statute, I'm stating that Guam Webs should be given local procurement preference because it's a licensed business on Guam.
But the language of the statute says if you're providing services from off Guam. So you would have to be treating the other vendor as from off Guam, even though they're not.
I don't know where they're from.
So now you say when you researched WSI and you found out that it's a global company, well, I did the same thing. Did you see the page on their website that offers franchises?
Yes.
Okay. Now there are several franchises on Guam, such as like IHOP, Applebee's, Ruby Tuesdays. Would you say that these franchises are not local businesses?
I don't know about their ownership, so I wouldn't be able to say about those franchises. I'm not sure where the ownership is.
No, they're local. So they would be local businesses.
If they're licensed to do business on Guam, they're a local business.
Okay. Now, I think you also testified that Mr. Halehale, who is WSI, lists his WSI office here on Guam in Holiday Manor or Holiday Tower, something like that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, on Exhibit B at page 3, Guam Webs lists its office is Ipao Garden.
That's correct.
And that's the Ipao Garden condominium complex with a pool on the north side of Ipao Road. Is that correct? Yeah, I believe I looked into apartments there when I was parking. That's where your office is. Is that correct?
Correct. It's the only office unit in the condominium complex.
Okay, so Guam Webb's office is in a residential condominium complex.
My office is in an office unit.
But your office is located in a residential condominium complex. Is that correct?
I could give you the history of Ipao Garden. It's not
really
not residential.
No, that's fine. We don't need the history, but people live there.
There's people living there as
okay,
well.
Okay, thank
yes.
you. Now, so I haven't been to Mr. Halehale's office, so I don't really know anything about it. But I do know that several people run their businesses out of their home. My sister does. She's IT. You know, she does conferences over Skype. She does all
that. Subject to the opposing counsel testifying as to what her sister or anything else.
Sustained. Please proceed.
Okay, so do you know anyone that works from home?
Yes.
Okay, and did you know the IRS will even give you tax deductions, tax breaks, for running up office out of your home?
Okay, Ms. Wrightson, we're getting far afield of the facts that are at issue in this case. Please focus your questions on them. Please proceed.
Okay, so Mr. Sharma then, and Guam Webb's briefs in this appeal have accused GCC of bad faith collusion with WSI, and Mr. Bell has asked several questions of the GCC witnesses about their familiarity with Mr. Halehale, and your testimony on Tuesday kind of tried to imply that somehow GCC had skirted away Guam Webb's bid packet until the bid opening. Now, does Guam Webb's whole theory of bad faith collusion, is that based on the fact that WSI was under the contract with GCC for its website?
You mean their current contract?
Yeah.
No, it's not based on that.
It's not based on that. Okay, now you testified when you lodged your bid protest and that you lodged this bid protest and that you're pursuing this appeal because GCC made a mistake. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you also said that WSI is a competitor of Guam Webs. Is that correct?
I think I said that there were another web design firm on.
Okay, and I believe that you said that you know all the other players for higher education websites here on Guam, including WSI.
I mentioned I know all the other players that do the same.
Okay, so you know the WSI is an online company, then.
I was I thought they were an online company, yes.
Okay, and so WSI would be Guam Web's probably only real competitor for higher education websites on Guam, is that correct?
I can't say that.
Okay. So So now, according to Guam Web's proposal, Guam Web's is currently under contract for UOG's website, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and did Guam Web's get that contract by winning a bid solicitation from UOG for its website?
Yes.
And was WSI under a contract with UOG before Guam Web's won that bid?
WSI was the exiting vendor.
Okay, yes. Ms. Wrightson, what's your offer of proof on inquiring about the UOG bid, which is not an issue here?
It's listed in his bid pack.
Yes, but is that one of the issues which he raises in his appeal or which you raise in the defense thereto?
I'm establishing he claimed that he is pursuing this appeal and the bid protest because GCC made a mistake.
Okay, can you focus your questions on where? I don't believe any of his allegations involve a mistake about UOG's bid.
No, it's establishing a little groundwork.
Please proceed.
Okay, so when WSI, let's see, for UOG's proposal then, if you can allow me just one quick question.
I'll allow you a little leeway, please proceed.
Thank you.
Not too much.
Okay, did you run up to Rev and Tax after UOG's bid and ask for everybody's business license?
I don't remember, but we may have because we usually try to understand how the others responded.
To understand, so you'd run to Rev and Tax and ask for business licenses?
I don't recall it. I don't recall. That's for UOG. I don't recall.
Okay. But for this IFB, even though you knew that the IFB required submission of a business license upon the award of the contract, you went up to Rev and Tax and asked for the history of WSI's business license.
I object that does mistake the record because we say that the bid says you need to produce a copy of your license, which is different from having a license. In fact, GCC's officials confirmed that those are two different things.
I'm going to allow the question. Objection overruled. Please proceed.
Okay, so even though this IFB said a business license upon award of the contract, you went up to Rev and Tax and requested a copy of WSI's business license history.
Yes, not only for that reason. But
okay, yeah, well, not only for that reason, it's also because WSI is a competitor, is that correct?
No, actually it was because of number 4 and number 5 of the general terms, which talk about licensing and talk about local procurement preference.
Okay, but even though there wasn't, you didn't have to submit a copy of your business license with
Ms.
the IFB.
Right, so in terms of requesting a business license, I believe that's a public record.
Yes,
it is. The purpose of obtaining a public record, you don't really need one. How much further are you going to inquire about his?
I'm just asking some questions about, he said that this was a mistake is why he's doing all, is why he's presenting.
But then you're asking him about going and obtaining public records from Rev and Tax. I don't see the connection you're trying to make.
Okay.
Please proceed.
Okay. Now, we've said that you're pursuing this matter just because GCC made a mistake with this contract award. Is that correct?
GCC made a mistake in the evaluation and the way they have awarded.
Okay, so that's why you're pursuing this bid protest and this appeal here at OPA?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so then outside of this appeal, has Guam Web done anything that would make business more uncomfortable or difficult for Mr. Hallihalli and WSI?
I don't understand what you're implying or what you mean.
Please answer the question to the best of your ability.
Can you repeat that question?
Outside of this appeal, which you've said, the whole reason you're doing this is because of the contract. Now, outside of this appeal here, has Guam Web's done anything that would make Mr. Hallihalli, make it more difficult or uncomfortable for Mr. Hallihalli to keep operating his WSI business?
I've never done anything to make anything uncomfortable for Mr. Carlos Hallihalli.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Mr. Bell, may you redirect?
As you testified a moment ago, you were made aware of what the submitted prices were on the February 15th, the day of bid opening. Is that correct?
That's right.
And yet, if you knew what the prices were, or at least the prices submitted were, why were you still, you also testified that you were surprised that you didn't get the bid though, correct?
That's correct.
Why were you still surprised?
Just hearing the prices during bid opening would not equate to, I guess, awarding a bid to a vendor.
So they don't just award the bid right there on the bid opening, depending on whichever price comes in cheaper? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. At the bid opening, there's no statement of award. There's no award made. And we're instructed that the bids will be evaluated and that they would contact us within 2 weeks' time.
Okay. And when you testified that you were notified that you did not get the award on February, was it 23rd or 24th?
I saw that email on February 25th.
Okay. And what day did you submit your FOIA request, requesting for the record?
I think I should have done it within 2 days. I don't recall exactly, but...
Does February 25th sound correct?
It's on the same date. That's... Yeah. I don't recall the exact date.
It's okay. Was... Sorry. Was the business license the only... was WSI's lack of a business license the only ground for your protest?
No.
Or your appeal?
No.
As you sit here today, is it your position that WSI could not submit two different pricing options?
They could submit two different pricing options. But in my appeal, I stated that WSI submitted two very different proposals, a proprietary software and a Drupal-based software, which have two very different specifications.
For the record, you're referring to your protest, correct? Not your appeal?
My protest.
Was that argument, okay, thank you. You talked about your scope of work, and you were inquired about how that was on pages 40 to 53. Were you suggesting that your scope of work was discussed on other pages as well?
Yes, so we labeled one section called scope of work, where I specifically respond to the outline scope of work and the bid specification. And then I think it's section 6 of the bid package that I submitted, my bid response. And that goes more into depth about how the system works, illustrating, actually built a demo and did screenshots of that demo, and then pinpointed how it illustrates and aligns with the specifications that were asked by GCC.
What is your best estimate for the number of pages of your proposal that substantively address the specifications of the bid?
I think the entire proposal itself is a response.
Well, just to clarify my question, I'm referring to the technical specifications and excluding, your background, the background of your business and your resume, for example.
I'd say about 30, 35 pages of that would be specific and technical aspects.
And that's not including the screenshots and that kind of thing, correct?
That would include the screenshots. Okay.
That that language that Ms. Wrightson had brought out regarding the letters EOG appearing in your bid proposal, why did EOG appear in that bid proposal?
Typos.
When you prepare your bid proposals, do you use a template?
No, but we do use verbiage that we have, and if it aligns, then I would grab it from another winning proposal because, that's a business practice. Can't go into depth about business practice here, I guess, but yeah, it's happened in a few spots in there, and it's a typo.
And is it your testimony that in spite of some cutting and pasting, you still spent about 8 to 10 days preparing your proposal?
Absolutely, including the demo that we produced. I took screenshots of that demo to illustrate the technical aspects of our response.
Based on what you've been permitted to see, how many pages of WSI's proposal addressed this, the technical specifications of the bid?
Objection. He hasn't seen the entirety of WSI's proposal, but the web group did, and the public auditor and the hearing officer both have a copy of it.
Objection overruled. Answer the question to the best of your ability.
I saw...
And by the way, you can argue the weight of his testimony for that reason at closing argument, but please proceed.
I've seen not all of the WSI proposal. What I have seen is... that is definitely a cookie-cutter template.
Did you address website hosting and maintenance and downtime in your bid?
Yes. Proposal?
If you recall, do you recall any questions during the pre-bid conference or any other time whether or not the incoming vendor would have access to the current website?
It wasn't... It wasn't a question raised at the bid conference, but I think it was in one of the amendments. Another vendor had asked that question.
To your knowledge, what were the bidders, what was GCC willing to do to allow the winning or proposed bidders access with regards to transitioning from the old website?
Objection, this is outside the scope of the direct testimony.
That was directly questions. If I can clarify the premise for why I'm asking the question, she was asking about...
Okay, you have to explain why. It was in her cross-exam.
Correct. In her cross, she had asked, where does it say in your specs that you agreed to take charge of the administration of the transitioning and also pay for it? And I'm asking him if he recalls it being raised during the pre-bid conference, what access they would have. I don't want to suggest the answer, but I...
Objection overruled.
Do you recall a vendor asking about what kind of access that it would have for purposes of transitioning?
GCC would not have been able to give access. It's a proprietary. Even their current website is proprietary.
Okay, so is that why your response to the proposal was not as thorough as other responses?
Yes, actually that's very correct. And the way I worded my response was that we will expose APIs, meaning whatever is provided to us, we'll be able to expose that, meaning open it up and then get data from there. And if they're not going to provide source code to us, then we're not going to be able to transition.
Your business license was current when you submitted your proposal, correct?
That's correct.
And was your business license current when you applied for local procurement preference?
That's correct.
And it's your testimony that WSI didn't have a license at either of those times, correct?
Correct.
Regarding reliability, is there any CMS that is impervious to hacking?
Like I mentioned, and I said it very broadly, that any technology is vulnerable to hacking. And you're talking about websites as big as Facebook to the biggest website platform, which is called Wix, that had 60 million websites hacked.
As far as security against hacking, how does Drupal compare to other CMSs?
Sure, so Drupal's the leader in content management system. And Facebook, Twitter, the White House, CBS, Fox News, Al Jazeera, you name it, used by most universities in the United States, used by the court system in the United States, used by major agencies on Guam. It's a very solid, stable content management system.
That's Drupal.
Drupal.
Just to clarify, yes.
Has Guamwebs ever argued that if WSI doesn't have a business license, they must be treated as if they're off island?
That's not my argument.
Can you tell me a little bit more about you said your office is at EPAL Garmin, is that correct?
That's correct.
And you said it's in an office? is that, is EPOM Gardens, how long have you lived at, or sorry, how long has your office been at EPOM Gardens?
Okay, so clarify, I do not live in my office. I spend a lot of time there. But Guam Webster's office unit is actually an office lease. Our lease says office. It's the only office unit there, and been there since 2009.
Do you live at EPOM Gardens as well?
No.
Your protest, essentially, we talked a lot about, or you testified that you had protested based on mistakes made by GCC, correct?
That's correct.
That language was essentially the language you used in your protest, correct?
That's correct.
But on the appeal, you also alleged, did you also allege collusion in the appeal?
Yes.
That's all I have.
Any recross, Ms. Wrightson?
None, thank you.
I just had one quick question, Mr. Sharma. It wasn't quite in your back and forth with Ms. Wrightson. And I know you use the phrase 24/7 throughout your proposal. What does that mean to you?
Sure. It basically means that we have staff that's working around the clock. They take different shifts, who provide support and update services when clients request it. So whether it's at posting something at 12 a.m., which is midnight, our staff will conduct that service for them.
Would it be fair to say when you put 24/7, you mean 24 hours, 7 days a week?
That's correct, sir.
All right, that's fine. That's all I wanted to know. So either party have any redirect or recross on my question?
No.
Okay, so Mr. Sharma, we're going to excuse you as a witness at this time. I'm going to order you, just like all the other witnesses, not to discuss your testimony with any of the parties or any of the other witnesses until these proceedings are over. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay, you may be excused. Thank you. Do you have any other witnesses?
Yes, I would like to call the runner. I will disclose he's my dad. He works part-time for me in my office. He's my representative.
That doesn't give you a conflict of some kind?
I don't see one.
I would have...
I don't understand why he'd be more loyal to me than my own employees, who I can fire.
I would object to Mr. Bell's father testifying on behalf of his clients.
Okay. Well, what is the... Could you put forth your offer of proof again?
I think this is very succinct.
Excuse me. Could we have the witness leave the room in case he is going to be called?
I'm sorry. I didn't realize he walked in. Could you just wait a second? Please proceed.
I won't argue with the hearing officer whether a third party served Mr. Halihali, but he wanted to testify, so I won't. I'm not trying to. This isn't for purposes of trying to hold Mr. Halihali contempt. I'm not going to fight with that. However, I simply wanted to prove my allegation that Mr. Halihali's, the business address he lists is a residential condo in a gated condominium where you can't even walk in there like as a customer, as opposed to what he's testified to, Mr. Sharma testified to, we have an actual office where clients come in. That's it. And the reason why it's relevant is because GCC's been asserting the fact over and over again, they're local, they have a local office and everything. How do we know? Because, it's the address listed in their their packet is a local address. Therefore, they have an office. So that's all the only fact.
But the problem I see with the purpose of the testimony is, did he actually see their office, or did he hand it to a front desk, which wasn't the office?
Yeah, well, I was hoping that, so it's not me testifying, to be him. He actually went to the, I've been there myself, but I can't testify to that. So he went to the,
he knocked on his door.
Yeah, he knocked on his door. I've been there. He's shown the door. I've seen the door. It's a house. I mean, I peeked inside. Curtains open.
Well, you can't
refrigerator, kitchen
it,
table.
No, I'm just trying to. Okay.
Right, but
so
I'm
did
just
he actually go to the residence itself?
Yes, he actually went to the residence, knocked on the door. He's not home. So then he talked to the resident manager. I didn't instruct my staff to give it to a person.
So I got the gist of it.
Right. It's also
Ms. Wrightson. Hang on, Ms. Wrightson, you had an objection.
Yeah. So well, first of all, I would object to Mr. Bell's father testifying. And second of all, I would object on the grounds of relevance. That just because you can't walk up to a door and walk into an office doesn't mean that there's not an office there.
Well, In terms of the fact that this particular witness is your father, is he an actual employee of your firm?
He actually works full-time. It started out as someone was on leave thing. He's actually worked for a year. He's my runner.
Do you pay him?
I do.
All right. Is he on your payroll?
He is.
All right.
He's actually my longest tenured employee.
I'm going to overrule the objection. I'm going to allow it for the limited purpose of his observations as to what he saw there, and that's it.
I have no complaints as to it.
But you understand that limitation?
Absolutely. What he saw.
And why he was there.
Correct.
All right. You may call his name?
Vlad Bell.
Vlad Bell?
Yes.
Okay. Call Vlad Bell, please.
For the record,
Curtis Lad Bell.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please be seated.
Good morning, Mr. Bell. Yeah. You are my father, correct?
Yes.
But are you also an employee?
Yes, I am legal assistant and basically your runner.
And
at your office.
How long have you served in that capacity?
It's about 1 year.
Did you attempt to serve a subpoena on Carlos Halley-Halley?
I did, yes.
How did you, or where did you go to serve that subpoena?
Holiday Tower, Suite 404.
Is that 788 Route 4, 700 Guam, Unit 404?
Yes, it is.
Okay. When you first arrived at the building, was it open, or was it gated, or security, anything?
At the entrance to Holiday Tower, there's a set of doors that's not locked, but inside of that, there's another set of doors that are locked. In between, there's a call box with instructions. It's a digital readout, but it explains that if you want to contact one of the suites or units that you... There's an up-down arrow to select the apartment and a button that you push for the to ring that room, and it sounds like a telephone when you call it.
Okay. Were you able to get inside the building?
Yes, I was.
How were you able to get inside the building?
There was no answer. Well, when I ring that room, is not available at this time, so no answer from that room. But there was someone who... obviously, a resident returning. This is about 4:30, between 4:30 and 5.
Sure,
at the end of the day.
Sure.
So a resident was let me in.
Okay. And so were you able to find Unit 404?
Yes.
How do you know you found Unit 404?
Well, I went to the fourth floor, and of course the suites are numbered, and
was the
Unit 404.
Was there any indication on the door that was WSI's business?
No.
Did it appear to be an office to you in any way?
In no way.
That's all I have. I don't want to introduce hearsay and what he did with subpoena. That's really all I have.
And I'm sure Ms. Wrightson has several questions on cross. Ms. Wrightson, you're
with us. Actually, I don't have that many questions, really. I'm sorry, your name is Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Mr. Bell, do you know anyone who works from home?
I don't see the relevance of his...
I'm going to allow the question. Please proceed. Objection overruled.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
Mr. Bell, I'm going to excuse you as a witness at this time, and order you not to discuss your testimony with any of the parties or any of the other witnesses until this matter is concluded. Do you understand that?
I do.
All right. You may leave the witness.
Who's the next one?
Oh, that was it. Sorry, miss.
So you're gonna
only because Mr. Halley and Ali was sent.
All right. So you're going to rest?
Yes.
All right. So play it for us. Ms. Reinson, we are now in, before you proceed, let's proceed. Ms. Reinson, do you have any, we're now in your case in chief, you may call your first witness.
Okay. And before we begin, I would like to request permission, since most of these witnesses are going to be testifying, we've already heard most of everything they're going to say, if I could have permission to lead them through just for the sake of time.
I just want the ability to object on leading if it's a really improper leading. If it's just recapping the record and the testimony, I have no problem.
And that's primarily
well, considering the fact that the rules of civil procedure don't apply, I'm going to allow that for purposes of brevity and the fact that, well, we'll see how you lead, but yes, certainly if you want to interpose an objection, you're free to object at any time, Mr. Bell, and we'll deal with it at that point. Ms. Price, you may call your first witness.
Thank you. That would be Jane Flores.
Please call Ms. Flores. Yes. Yes.
Please remain standing and raise your right hand. Please state your name for the record.
Jane Flores.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give would be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Please be seated.
You're meant to witness for the excuse me, your witness.
Thank you. Good morning, Ms. Flores.
Good morning.
And just for the record, once again, could you tell us how long you've worked at JCC?
7 years next month.
Okay, and what is your position at JCC?
I'm the Assistant Director of Communications and Promotions.
Okay, and we're just once more for the record, you were part of the web group that prepared the scope of work for the IFB, is that correct?
That's correct.
And were you part of the web group who evaluated the proposals for the IFB to determine whether the proposals responded to the IFB's scope of work?
Yes.
And did the IFB's Amendment 1 allow the bidders to submit proposals based on both a proprietary and a non-proprietary tool?
That's correct.
And did the evaluation sheets used by the web group mirror the specifications in the IFB's scope of work?
Yes, they did.
And after reviewing and evaluating the proposals for the IFB, did the web group determine that both bidders promised to meet and perform all the specification in the IFB's scope of work?
Yes.
Okay, and Exhibit E at pages, 29 through 35. John, these would be your evaluation sheets, is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Now, after determining that both bidders promised to perform all the specifications in the IFB's scope of work, did you then look at the prices offered by the bidders?
Yes, that's what we were instructed to do.
Okay, and because both bidders promised to meet the IFB's specifications for the scope of work and WSI's proprietary price was the lowest price offered, did the web group recommend WSI as the bidder who should be awarded the contract?
Yes.
Thank you. And who drafted the memorandum with the web group's recommendation?
I did.
Thank you. And so is page 4, I think, of Exhibit E, I think we've established is the memorandum that mm-hmm. you drafted.
Yes.
For. That's all I have.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Bell, any cross-examination?
I have no cross.
Ms. Flores, once again, you're going to be excused. I'm going to give you the same order not to discuss your testimony with any of the parties or the witnesses until this matter is concluded. And you, of course, are subject to recall by Ms. Wrightson should you require. Do you have any questions about that?
Am I excused for the day?
You're excused for the day. That's correct.
So I can go back to the office?
Yes. Please have a very pleasant afternoon.
Thank you.
Your next witness
would be Frank Camacho, and after that will be Angela Cabrera, and then Jolene Evangelista.
Please call Frank Camacho.
The next one will be Angela Cabrera, and then after that, Ms. Evangelista.
I'm going to ask the witness to please leave your bag with counsel for the purchasing agency, or you can leave it on the chair there.
Please remain standing and raise your right hand. Please state your name for the record.
Francisco Camacho.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Please be seated.
You're a witness, Ms. Wrightson.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Camacho.
Good morning.
And just once more for the record, how long have you been employed at JCC?
As an adjunct faculty since 89 and as a full-time systems administrator since 1999.
Okay, thank you. And so, just again for the record, were you part of the web group that prepared the scope of work for the IFB?
Yes.
And were you part of the web group that evaluated the proposals for the IFB to determine whether the proposals responded to the IFB's scope of work?
Yes.
Okay, and did the evaluation sheets used by the web group mirror the specifications in the IFB's scope of work?
Yes.
Okay, now pages 21 through 28 of Exhibit E. John?
Thanks.
These would be your evaluation sheets.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Now, after reviewing and evaluating the proposals for the IFB, did the web group determine that both bidders promised to perform all the specifications in the IFB's scope of work?
Yes.
And after determining that both bidders promised to perform all the specifications in the IFB's scope of work, did the web group then look at the prices offered by the bidders?
Yes.
Okay, and because both bidders promised to meet the IFB's specifications and WSI's proprietary price was the lowest price offered, did the web group recommend WSI as the bidder who should be awarded the contract?
Yes.
Thank you. Nothing further.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Cross?
Mr. Camacho, regarding the lowest price, what price were you comparing?
We compared to what WebZ provided.
Well, do you recall what the prices were? If you recall,
not exactly, no.
Do you recall what years? Were you basing it on the first year?
There's one on the first year and there's one on the 3 years. We were basing it, I believe, on the 3 years total.
Okay. If I told you that Ms.
Mr. Bell, before you proceed, now I believe you asked this same witness many of the same questions extensively during her case in chief. Is that correct?
I sincerely don't believe me asking him questions about the years. What price they were looking at. In fact, she said it was 1 year. I don't recall Mr. asking Mr. Camacho. Honestly, I could be wrong. I don't recall Mr. asking Mr. Camacho about.
I'll allow for Mr. Camacho. Please proceed.
The normal evaluation is usually based on a 1 year period because we're not allowed to commit like next year's budget to something else. So we're looking at the normal practice is the first year and then based on what you have. I mean, what was put into the proposal. I mean, the specifications with the option to it's 3 years with option to renew for 2 additional years.
Okay. Just so I understand, which do you recall? Do you not recall what years you compared for?
I think we looked at both, and it didn't seem like it mattered because they were still the lower price.
Okay.
Whether it was the first year or the 3 years.
I
think these two showed that they were the lowest.
Thank you.
I'm talking about WSI.
No problem. I have no further cross, thank you.
Can you recross?
No.
Or redirect? So Mr. Camacho,
yes,
I'm gonna give you that same order not to discuss your testimony with any of the other parties or any of the other witnesses, and you may be subject to recall, but for now you are excused
for
the date. That's correct. Have a very pleasant afternoon. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. All right.
May I call your next witness?
D'Angelo Cabrera.
Is Ms. Cabrera the one who had the stroke?
No, that's Ms. Bain.
Oh, okay, she did not call me.
No, she's not Cabrera.
Okay.
She's not part of my case.
Okay. That's good, because I didn't.
Yes.
She would have returned.
Oh, she would come back.
She didn't come back.
She
went home. After yesterday.
Tuesday.
Went so fast, I don't think
they were
prepared for the third one.
I told you it wouldn't take long.
I think they're on their way.
Oh, they're downstairs?
Yes.
Okay, can we go off the record real quick?
We're going off the record. It's 10:34 a.m. We are back on the record.
Wait.
We're back on the record at 10:39 a.m.
Please have the witness sworn.
Please stand and raise your right hand. Please state your name for the record.
Angela Cabrera.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Your witness, Ms. Wrightson.
Thank you. Good morning, Ms. Cabrera. And just once more for the record, how long have you worked for GCC?
About a year and 3 or 4 months.
Okay. And what's your position at GCC?
I'm a graphic artist.
Okay. And were you part of the web group who prepared the scope of work for the IFB?
Yes.
And were you part of the web group who evaluated the proposals for the IFB to determine whether the proposals responded to the IFB's scope of work?
Yes.
Thank you. And do you know if the IFB's Amendment 1 allowed the bidder to submit two proposals based on a proprietary and non-proprietary tool?
Yes, I'm on.
And did the evaluation sheets used by the web group mirror the specifications in the IFB's scope of work?
Yes, it did.
Okay. And Exhibit E, pages 5 through 12.
Thank you.
Okay. This would be your evaluation sheets?
Yes, definitely.
Thank you. Now, after reviewing and evaluating the proposals for the IFB, did the web group determine that both bidders promised to perform all the specifications in the IFB's scope of work?
Yes.
Okay, and then after determining that both bidders promised to perform all the specifications in the scope of work, did the web group then look at the prices offered by the bidders?
No.
Oh, the web group didn't do that?
Oh, we did, but it wasn't up to us to choose.
Okay, thank you. And so,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you were saying.
We did look at the price, but it wasn't up to us to make the decision.
Who was it up to?
I'm sorry.
Who was it up to?
Procurement.
Procurement?
Yes.
Oh, so the committee itself did not?
The web group?
The web, yes.
Yes, the web group did view it.
No, the evaluation.
Oh, we did the evaluation.
Okay.
But not as to price.
No, not the price.
Thank you.
Okay. So did the web group then?
I apologize for interrupting.
That's okay. Did the web group recommend, one of the bidders should be awarded the contract?
No.
Okay, thank you.
I have no questions.
Ms. Cabrera, I'm going to, excuse you as a witness for the day. I'm gonna order you to not discuss your testimony with, the parties or the other witnesses, until this matter is concluded. Of course, you're subject to recall, but you can leave for the day. You understand? Thank you for, coming today. Have a pleasant afternoon.
Thank you.
All right, so we're gonna, how many more witnesses?
Just Ms. Evangelista would be my last one.
Okay, so we're gonna, basically, have to, stop here. Do you want to reconvene at 12:30?
No, 12.
Oh, okay. We're gonna reconvene at 12.
At 12?
And, we will proceed, then. Okay, so we're gonna take a break for lunch, and, we're off the record now.
We're off the record at 10:42 a.m.
Thank you.